My fiance cheated at her bachelorette party, so I left her without saying a single word. Hey Reddit. Never imagined I'd be posting something like this, but I just need to get this off my chest. Let me give you some background before I dig into the real drama. Mia and I, both 30, met when we were 24. We were both at a mutual friend's birthday party. I remember seeing her across the room, laughing at something someone said, and thinking she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. She had this infectious energy, the kind that made you want to be around her. By the end of the night, we were sitting on the patio, talking about everything. Music, movies, travel, dreams. I was hooked. We started dating a few weeks later and moved in together after a year. Things were great, or at least I thought they were. Sure, Mia liked to party more than I did, but it was never anything extreme, or so I believed. I figured we balanced each other out. I was the grounded one, and she brought the fun. When I proposed last year, I was sure I'd found my forever person. She cried when I asked her, and her answer was an immediate yes. We spent months planning the wedding together, picking out venues, tasting cakes, and arguing about whether to do an open bar. I thought we were building a life together, but apparently I was wrong. The drama started with a package. A damn package, of all things. I wasn't even supposed to be home at that time. My shift ended early, and I figured I'd surprise Mia by coming home and cooking dinner. When I got to the apartment, I saw a small gift bag sitting at the door. It had a glittery tag on it that read, "To the wildest bride-to-be. You deserved every second of it. Love, Tasha." At first, I didn't think much of it. Tasha was Mia's best friend, practically glued to her side since college. I always thought she was a bit over the top, loud, dramatic, and the kind of person who thrived on chaos, but I tolerated her for Mia's sake. They were the fun duo, or at least that's how Mia always described them. Still, something about that note gave me a weird feeling. I brought the bag inside and set it on the kitchen counter, staring at it for a good 5 minutes. My brain kept going back and forth. It's probably nothing, but why does it feel weird? I decided to open it. I told myself it wasn't snooping, it was just curiosity. Besides, it was addressed to Mia, but left out in the open like that, basically an invitation, right? Inside, there were the typical bachelorette party things. A cheap plastic tiara, a bride's last ride sash, and some glittery confetti that spilled everywhere. But then, at the bottom of the bag, there was a pair of men's boxers. Used. Not freshly laundered. My stomach turned, but I tried to rationalize it. Maybe it's a gag gift? Some kind of stupid joke? Then I saw the flash drive. I don't even know what possessed me to check what was on it. I guess I was already uneasy from the boxers. And something about the way the bag screamed, "Wild Night," wasn't sitting right with me. I plugged it into my laptop and opened the only file on it. The video started off innocently enough. Mia and her friends were sitting in a booth at some club, laughing and cheering. The camera wobbled as it zoomed in on Mia, wearing the tiara and sash. She looked gorgeous, as always, but there was something off about her energy. She wasn't just celebrating, she was on another level, like she didn't have a care in the world. The next clip was where things started to go downhill. Mia was on a stage at what was clearly a strip club, grinding on a male stripper while her friends hooped and hollered. At first I thought, okay, it's a bachelorette party, not great but not the end of the world. But then the camera followed her as she pulled the stripper off stage, giggling and leading him toward a private room. I paused the video, my heart racing. I told myself not to overreact. Maybe it was just for show, right? Maybe she went in there, had a laugh, and walked out. But I knew better. Deep down, I already knew. The next clip removed all doubt. It showed Mia sitting in a lounge area, surrounded by three guys. They were laughing, drinking, and flirting. But it didn't stop there. One of them leaned in and kissed her. And she didn't just let him. She kissed him back. Then another guy joined in. By the end of the video, she was leading all three of them into what looked like a hotel room. Tasha's voice in the background made it worse. She was laughing and narrating the whole thing. "Mia, you're a legend. Bride of the year." I sat there staring at the screen, feeling like my chest had been ripped open. This wasn't the woman I'd spent the last 6 years of my life with. This wasn't the Mia who used to fall asleep on my chest while we watched stupid rom-coms. This wasn't the Mia who talked about how excited she was to start a family with me. Mia came home that evening like nothing had happened. She kissed me on the cheek, asked about my day, and went on about how Tasha had the best ideas for wedding decorations. I just nodded and smiled, pretending everything was fine. But inside, I was done. I couldn't even look at her without seeing that video in my head. I felt like an idiot for not seeing it sooner. Had there been signs? Did I miss them? Or was this the first time? I didn't know, and honestly, I didn't care. The woman I thought I was marrying didn't exist anymore. That night, I didn't sleep. I lay awake staring at the ceiling, replaying the video over and over in my mind. Every laugh, every kiss, every touch felt like a dagger. I wanted to confront her, to yell, to demand answers. But I knew it wouldn't change anything. The next morning, Mia got up early to get ready for work. She kissed me on the forehead before leaving and said, "I can't wait to see you tonight, babe." I smiled and said, "Me too." The second Mia left for work, I started moving. I didn't even sit down to have coffee or think about what I was doing. I just grabbed my duffel bag from the closet and started packing. Clothes, toiletries, my laptop, chargers, whatever I could fit without making a mess. I wasn't planning to come back, so I didn't waste time trying to decide what to take or leave. I knew the furniture wasn't worth the hassle, and I didn't care about most of the shared stuff anyway. Let her keep the couch, the TV, the kitchen gadgets. She could have it all. I just wanted out. As I was packing, I realized I'd never done anything like this before. I've always been the guy who plans everything to the last detail, vacations, work schedules, even lazy Sundays. But here I was, stuffing random things into a bag with no clear plan other than get out of this. I grabbed my phone and started Googling places to stay. I didn't want to go to a regular hotel. It felt too cold, too close to reality. I needed somewhere I could think, breathe, and figure out my next move. That's when I found a small resort about 2 hours outside the city. It wasn't fancy, but it looked quiet, and they had last-minute availability. Perfect. I called and booked a room for a week, paid up front, and didn't even care about the price. It felt like a small price to pay for some peace of mind. Before I left, I grabbed a folder from my desk where I kept all the wedding contracts. I had no intention of paying for a wedding that wasn't going to happen. The venue was first on my list, so I called them as I walked out the door. "Hi, this is Ryan," I said, trying to sound normal. "I need to cancel a reservation for a wedding." The woman on the other end sounded surprised. "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Can I ask why?" I wasn't about to spill my personal drama to a stranger, so I just said, "Change of plans. Life happens, you know." She went on about cancellation fees, how they keep 20% of the deposit, blah, blah. I didn't care. "That's fine," I said. "Just cancel it." With that done, I got in my car and started driving. I didn't even look back at the apartment. The drive to the resort felt surreal. It was like I was on autopilot, just following the GPS while my mind replayed everything I'd seen on that flash drive. Was it just the party, or had she been hiding this side of herself the whole time we were together? I stopped at a gas station halfway there to grab some snacks and water. While I was paying, my phone started buzzing in my pocket. I didn't even have to look to know it was Mia. I ignored it, but the buzzing didn't stop. Text after text, call after call. She must have gotten home and realized I was gone. I couldn't bring myself to read the messages yet. I wasn't ready for the excuses, the fake tears, or the "it wasn't what it looked like" speech. I just turned my phone on silent and kept driving. The place was small but perfect. A king-sized bed, a little kitchenette, a fireplace, and a deck overlooking the lake. It felt like a world away from everything I'd left behind. I dumped my bags in the corner, sat on the edge of the bed, and finally let out a long, shaky breath. For the first time all day, I felt the weight of what had just happened. This wasn't just a fight or a breakup. I'd left behind my fiancé, my home, and the life I thought I was building. I spent the rest of the day unpacking, but it felt weird to see my stuff in this unfamiliar space. I kept expecting Mia to call out from the other room or ask me what I wanted for dinner. Every little sound made me jump like she was going to walk in at any moment. When I finally sat down to eat a sandwich I'd made from the snacks I brought, I checked my phone. There were over 20 missed calls from Mia, plus a flood of texts. They started out casual. "Hey babe, where are you? Did you go somewhere without telling me? Let me know when you're coming back." Then they got panicked. "Ryan, this isn't funny. Where are you? Are you okay? Why is your stuff gone? What's going on?" And finally, desperate. "Please call me. I don't understand what's happening. Please." I didn't respond. Instead, I called my parents. My parents are the kind of people who don't pry unless they absolutely have to. When I told them I left Mia and the wedding was off, my mom just said, "Okay, sweetie, do you want to tell us what happened?" I kept it vague. "She wasn't who I thought she was," I said. My dad chimed in. "Good for you, son. Better to find out now than later." They didn't press me for details, which I appreciated. I told them I was staying at a resort for a bit to clear my head, and they said they'd support me no matter what. That first night at the cabin was strange. I kept expecting Mia to barge in, demand answers, or somehow convince me to come back. I thought about how much time and effort I'd put into our relationship, planning dates, saving for the wedding, compromising on things like her obsession with Tasha. And for what? For her to throw it all away in one night of partying. By the time I went to bed, I'd made up my mind. I wasn't going back. Not for her tears, her apologies, or her promises. This was the end, and I was okay with that. One thing kept bothering me. Tasha. She wasn't just some innocent bystander in all this. If anything, she was the ringleader. That video wasn't just a candid recording of the night. It felt like a trophy, something she was proud to show off. And that damn note on the package. "You deserved every second of it." It was practically a confession. Tasha always rubbed me the wrong way. When Mia and I started dating, Tasha was one of the first people I met in her circle. She was loud, constantly making sarcastic jokes, and always had to be the center of attention. Mia thought she was hilarious and fun, but I thought she was obnoxious. Over the years, I learned to tolerate her because she and Mia were so close, but I never trusted her. Looking back, there were red flags. Tasha would constantly push Mia to go out, even when we had plans. There were times when Mia came home drunk at 2 a.m., with Tasha giggling in the background, shouting, "Sorry for stealing your girl, Ryan." I used to laugh it off, but now it didn't feel so funny. At the resort, I decided to confront her. Not Mia, not yet. I wanted answers from the person who encouraged this whole mess. I didn't want to call Tasha directly, so I used a burner number app to text her something vague but baiting. "Hey, it's Ryan. We need to talk about Mia. Meet me at the coffee shop on 7 tomorrow at noon." She responded within 5 minutes. "WTF? Are you okay? Is Mia okay? What's this about?" I didn't reply. The next day, I drove back to the city, parked a few blocks from the coffee shop, and waited. Sure enough, Tasha walked in right on time, looking as smug as ever. She was wearing her usual over-the-top outfit. A bright pink blazer, heels that looked impossible to walk in, and sunglasses indoors. Classic Tasha. I walked in a few minutes later and sat down across from her. She looked surprised to see me, but then smiled. "Ryan, You scare me with that text. What's going on? I didn't waste any time.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Cut the crap, Tasha. I know about the bachelorette party. Her smile froze. What do you mean? I leaned forward, keeping my voice low. I mean the flash drive, the videos, the package you left on the doorstep. I know everything. She stared at me for a moment, then laughed nervously. Oh, come on, Ryan. It's just bachelorette party stuff. You're not seriously upset about that, are you? Upset? I said, leaning back in my chair. That's an understatement. What kind of best friend encourages someone to cheat on their fiancé and then sends them a highlight reel? Her face turned red. It wasn't like that, she said quickly. It was just a fun night, no harm, no foul. I pulled my phone out of my pocket and opened the screenshots I'd saved. I slid it across the table, showing her the messages she'd sent Mia. Bride of the year. You own that stage, girl. Don't feel guilty. It's your last chance to be free. Her eyes widened, and she tried to push the phone back toward me. Ryan, you're taking this way too seriously. It's just tradition, you know? Every bride deserves one wild night. Tradition? I said, my voice rising slightly. Is that what you call it? Because to me, it looks like you were egging her on the whole time. Tasha sighed and leaned back in her chair, crossing her arms. Look, I didn't force her to do anything, okay? She's a grown woman. She made her own choices. And you were right there cheering her on. I shot back. You were supposed to have her back, Tasha. Instead, you helped her throw away everything we built together. She rolled her eyes. Oh, please. It's not like she doesn't love you. It was just a one-night thing. You guys can move past this. That set me off. I slammed my hand on the table, making her jump. Move past this? You think I can just forget about her sleeping with 3 guys because you call it a one-night thing? You're unbelievable. She looked around nervously, probably worried about the other customer staring. Okay, fine, she said, lowering her voice. I'm sorry. Sorry if it got out of hand. But honestly, Ryan, this is between you and Mia. Don't drag me into it. You're already in it, I said, standing up. And believe me, Tasha, everyone is going to know exactly what kind of friend you are. Her eyes widened. What does that mean? You'll find out soon enough, I said, grabbing my phone and walking out. On the way back to the resort, I thought about what she'd said. She's a grown woman. She made her own choices. As much as I wanted to blame Tasha for everything, she was right about one thing. Mia had made her own decisions. Tasha might have encouraged her, but Mia didn't have to go along with it. That thought made my stomach turn. I'd always seen Mia as this fun, carefree person, but now I realized she was just reckless. Tasha might have been the match, but Mia was the one who lit the fire. When I got back to the cabin, I started drafting an email. I wasn't ready to confront Mia yet, but I wanted to make sure Tasha couldn't spin the story in her favor. I attached the screenshots and videos to the email and sent it to a few of our mutual friends, just the ones I trusted to keep it quiet until I was ready to tell the full story. I didn't hear from Tasha after that meeting, but I wasn't surprised. She probably realized there was nothing she could say to make things right, and honestly, I didn't care. She wasn't my problem anymore. My next move was clear to me at the time. Reach out to Mia's parents and expose everything. To get things clear for you, Mia's family always had this old-school, conservative vibe that made me feel like I was constantly being judged. When we moved in together 3 years ago, her mom, Janet, acted like we were running some kind of underground scandal. She didn't outright say it, but the constant comments like, you know, it's not proper to live together before marriage, and the way she always looked disappointed when I mentioned our apartment, made her feelings pretty clear. Her dad, Henry, was quieter about it but still disapproving. He'd grunt whenever the topic came up and say something like, back in my day, we did things differently. It wasn't until Mia and I got engaged that they even started warming up to me. Once there was a ring on her finger, suddenly Janet was planning bridal showers, and Henry was offering to help us with a down payment for a house. It was like I'd passed some invisible test, and now I was finally worthy. But after everything that happened, I couldn't keep the truth to myself. Mia had betrayed me, and now it was her turn to face the music, especially with her parents, who had been so smug about how perfect and proper she was. Mia's texts and calls hadn't stopped since my conversation with Tasha. Ryan, please answer me. I know you're upset, but we need to talk. I love you. Please don't give up on us. Every message made me angrier. She didn't get to play the victim. She made her choices. I hadn't responded to a single text or call, and I didn't plan to. But then Janet texted me. Ryan, what's going on? Mia is a wreck. Please call me. We're worried. I stared at the message for a while before deciding I needed to do this in person. If anyone was going to deal with Mia, it wasn't going to be me. Let her parents handle it. They always acted like they knew better anyway. The next day, I drove back into the city and headed straight to Janet and Henry's house. I didn't tell Mia I was going, even though I knew she'd probably lose it once she found out. When Janet opened the door, her face lit up with a mix of relief and concern. "Oh, Ryan, thank God you're here. What's going on? Mia is so worried about you since yesterday." Henry was sitting in his usual chair in the living room, flipping through a newspaper. He looked up when he heard my voice. "Ryan," he said, nodding. "Glad you're here. Maybe you can tell us what's going on." I stepped inside and sat down on the pristine couch. "I came to tell you the truth," I said, keeping my voice steady. "You're going to want to sit down for this." Janet looked confused but sat across from me, clutching her hands together. Henry leaned forward in his chair, his brows furrowed. I pulled out my phone and opened the folder of evidence. "Mia's been lying to you," I said, "and to me. The wedding is off because of what she did at her bachelorette party." Janet gasped. "What are you talking about? What could she have possibly done that's so bad?" I handed her my phone. "Watch this." She hesitated, looking between me and the screen. Then she hit play. Her expression shifted from confusion to horror as the video played. "Oh my God," she whispered, her voice shaking. "This can't be real. Tell me this isn't real." Henry stood up, his face red with anger. "What's going on? Let me see that." Janet handed him the phone, tears streaming down her face. As Henry watched, his jaw clenched and his hands gripped the edges of the phone so tightly, I thought he might crush it. "This is what she did," I said, my voice calm but firm. "She didn't just betray me. She made a spectacle out of it. And her friends encouraged her the whole way." Janet buried her face in her hands, sobbing. "I can't believe this. I can't believe she would do this." Henry paced the room, his fists clenched. "That girl. That damn girl," he muttered. "We raised her better than this. What the hell was she thinking?" "She wasn't thinking," I said. "And now she's trying to get me to forgive her. But I'm done. I thought you both should know the truth because I'm not going to clean up her mess." Janet looked up at me, her eyes red. "Ryan, please, can you just talk to her? Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe she was pressured." "She wasn't pressured," I said, cutting her off. "She made her choices, and I'm not going to spend the rest of my life wondering if she'll make them again." Henry stopped pacing and pointed at Janet. "This is what happens when she listens to that damn Tasha instead of us. I told you Tasha was trouble. I told you." Janet nodded, wiping her tears. "We should have said something. We should have stopped her from moving in with you. Maybe this wouldn't have happened." I almost laughed at the irony. "You think me moving in with her was the problem?" I asked. "You've been so obsessed with what's proper that you never saw the real issue. Mia's reckless. She's been reckless for a long time, and now she's paying for it." Henry sat back down, shaking his head. "Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable." I stood up. "Look, I'm sorry to drop this on you, but it's your problem now. She'll probably come to you for help, and you can decide how to handle it. I've already made my decision." Janet grabbed my arm as I walked toward the door. "Ryan, please don't tell anyone else about this. Think of the embarrassment for our family." I pulled my arm away gently. "That's not my concern anymore, Janet. You'll have to deal with that yourselves." As I drove back to the resort, I felt a strange sense of closure. For years, Mia's parents had looked down on me, treating me like I wasn't good enough for their daughter. Now they knew the truth. Their perfect daughter had ruined everything on her own. Later that evening, I got another voicemail from Janet. "Ryan, it's Janet. I don't even know what to say. Henry and I are devastated. We confronted Mia, and she's completely fallen apart. She says she doesn't know how to fix this, but honestly, neither do we. I just want you to know that we're so, so sorry. If you ever want to talk, we're here." I deleted the message. Mia could deal with her parents now. I was done. Let her explain herself to them. Let them pick up the pieces. I wasn't her safety net anymore. It was time for her to face the consequences of her actions. It didn't take long for the truth to spread. After dropping the truth bomb on Mia's parents, I decided to widen the circle. I wasn't being vindictive, okay, maybe a little, but people needed to know what Mia and her crew were really about. If I didn't say anything, they'd sweep it under the rug like it never happened. That wasn't going to fly. The first person I reached out to was Rachel, one of Mia's closest friends. She wasn't at the same level of chaos as Tasha, but she was there that night. She played along, cheered me on, and probably thought it was all harmless fun. I wasn't giving her a free pass. I sent her a short text. "Rachel, I know what happened at the bachelorette party. I've got the videos and messages to prove it. Don't play dumb. We need to talk." Rachel called me within minutes, her voice shaky, like she was caught off guard. "Ryan, what the hell is this? Where did you get this? Does it matter where I got it?" I said, keeping my tone calm. "You were there. You saw everything." She stammered for a bit before blurting out, "I didn't know it was that bad, okay? I thought it was just some dancing and flirting. I didn't know." "You didn't know?" I cut in. "She disappeared with three guys. You didn't know she cheated on me in front of all of you?" Rachel went quiet for a moment. I thought she'd hung up, but then she sighed. "Look, Ryan, I'm sorry. I should have said something. But it's not like I could stop her. Mia talked about how boring marrying you would be, and she wanted one last fun night. Tasha was the one hyping her up, and Mia was, well, she was drunk and going along with it." I almost laughed. "Going along with it? That's your defense?" "She wasn't just going along with it, Rachel. She made those choices, sober or not. and you stood there, and let her. Rachel tried to backtrack. I didn't think it was my place. It was your place, I snapped. You're her friend. A real friend would have stopped her. She didn't have much to say after that. By the end of the call, she apologized again and swore she'd talk to Mia. I wasn't holding my breath. The next domino to fall was Tasha. I didn't have to do much there because, by now, Mia's parents were in full damage control mode. Janet and Henry must have laid into Mia after I left their house, because the next day, Mia called me over 20 times. I didn't answer a single one. Then Tasha texted me, and her tone was anything but friendly. Ryan, what the hell are you telling people? Mia is a mess, and now everyone's acting weird with me. You need to stop this. I couldn't help but smirk when I read that. Tasha was finally feeling the heat. I didn't even bother responding. Let her squirm. But the best part came when Rachel spilled the beans to the rest of their friend group. Rachel might have been complicit in Mia's behavior, but she wasn't about to go down with the ship. She started distancing herself from both Mia and Tasha, telling anyone who'd listened that she didn't know the full extent of what happened, and that she never would have supported it if she had. By the end of the week, the story was everywhere. Mia had gone from being the fun bride-to-be to the pariah of her own social circle. One of the mutual friends in their group, Chloe, reached out to me. We weren't particularly close, but she'd always been polite and respectful whenever we hung out in group settings. Her message caught me off guard. Hey Ryan, I just wanted to say I'm sorry for everything you're going through. I had no idea Mia was capable of something like that. If there's anything you need, let me know. Meanwhile, Mia was still trying to get in touch with me. The texts had slowed down, but they hadn't stopped entirely. Ryan, I know you're mad, but we need to talk. Please. I'll do anything to fix this. Just tell me what to do. It was almost pathetic. She wasn't apologizing because she felt bad about what she did. She was apologizing because her life was falling apart. Then Tasha and Mia finally had their falling out. It started as a quiet disagreement, but quickly escalated into a full-blown argument. Tasha, fed up with being blamed for everything, told Mia, "Don't act like I made you do anything. You were all in. Stop playing the victim." Chloe heard about the fight and texted me. Tasha and Mia aren't speaking anymore. Tasha's telling everyone Mia used her as a scapegoat. It's a mess. I couldn't help but feel a bit of satisfaction. For years, Tasha had acted like she was untouchable, manipulating people and causing drama. The last I heard from Janet, Mia was completely falling apart and struggling to get her life together. At first, I thought it was just emotional fallout, crying, begging, the usual. But as the days passed, I started hearing bits and pieces from mutual acquaintances about how bad things had really gotten for her. Apparently, Mia's parents, Janet and Henry, had reached their breaking point after our conversation. I knew they were angry, but I didn't expect them to go as far as they did. From what I heard, Janet tried to talk some sense into Mia after I exposed everything. Mia's response? She blamed me. She said I overreacted, that I should have been more understanding, and that it wasn't fair for me to ruin her life over one mistake. That didn't sit well with Janet and Henry. They'd always been about appearances, and having their daughter's dirty laundry aired out to their friends and extended family was their worst nightmare. When they realized Mia wasn't taking responsibility for anything, they kicked her out of the house. It wasn't just a threat either. They packed up her stuff, left it on the porch, and told her not to come back until she figured out how to take accountability for her actions. Knowing Janet, she probably threw in something like, "You're an embarrassment to this family." Mia tried to stay with Tasha, but that didn't go well either. After their blowout fight, Tasha wasn't exactly eager to let her crash on the couch. Tasha made it clear she didn't want to be involved in the mess anymore, and letting Mia stay with her would only make things worse. Chloe told me Mia had reached out to a few other friends, but most of them had already distanced themselves. Rachel ignored her calls, and the others didn't want to risk being caught in the crossfire. By the end of the week, Mia was basically couch surfing wherever she could find a temporary place to stay. The financial fallout hit her even harder. Mia had a cushy office job at a company her dad had helped her get into. Henry pulled some strings to get her in the door, and she'd been coasting ever since. But after her parents kicked her out, Henry made it clear he wasn't going to protect her anymore. From what I heard, Mia's manager wasn't thrilled with her work ethic to begin with. She'd already been warned about showing up late and slacking off on projects. Once her personal drama started leaking into the workplace, thanks to whispers from mutual acquaintances, the company decided she wasn't worth the trouble. She was let go under the guise of downsizing. I'll admit, when Chloe told me about Mia losing her job, I felt a little vindicated. Not because I wanted her to suffer, but because it was another example of her actions catching up with her. For years, she'd coasted through life relying on other people to clean up her messes. Now she had no safety net. I heard through the grapevine that Mia tried to reach out to Janet and Henry again after losing her job. She showed up at their house crying and begging to come back, saying she didn't have anywhere else to go. But they didn't cave. By this point, Mia was completely out of options. She didn't have a job, a place to stay, or any friends willing to help her. The texts and calls from her were getting more desperate. "Ryan, please talk to me. I have no one else. I'm sorry for everything. I lost my job, my home, everything. I know I messed up. Please give me another chance. I'll do anything to fix this. Just tell me what you want." I didn't respond to any of them. I wasn't about to let her guilt me into giving her another chance. She'd made her choices, and now she was living with the consequences. One of our mutual friends, Eric, gave me an update about a week later. Apparently, Mia had reached out to him, hoping he'd let her stay with him for a while. Eric, being the no-nonsense guy he is, shut her down immediately. "She's in a bad way, man," he told me. "She was crying on the phone, saying she didn't know what to do. But I told her straight up, this isn't my problem." Eric wasn't being heartless. He just wasn't about to let her manipulate him the way she'd tried to manipulate me. Eventually, Chloe told me Mia ended up renting a room in a rundown apartment on the other side of town. She used the last of her savings to pay for the first month's rent, but beyond that, she was scrambling to make ends meet. She picked up a part-time gig at a coffee shop, but it wasn't enough to cover her expenses. "She's barely hanging on," Chloe said. "I don't think she's ever been this low." The part that surprised me the most was how quickly everyone turned their backs on her. For years, Mia had been the center of her friend group, the one who always planned the parties and brought people together. But now that she was the one in trouble, no one wanted to help her. Tasha washed her hands of Mia entirely, saying, "She's not my responsibility anymore." Rachel cut ties completely, saying she couldn't deal with the drama. Even Chloe, who had tried to stay neutral, eventually stopped talking to her. Mia had burned every bridge she had, and now she was stuck trying to rebuild her life from scratch. I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel a little satisfaction watching her unravel. Not because I wanted her to suffer, but because it proved a point: actions have consequences. Mia had spent years relying on other people to bail her out, but now she was finally facing the reality of her choices. As for me, I was moving on. Every day felt like a step closer to leaving all the drama behind. Mia was on her own now, and honestly, that's exactly where she needed to be.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.